Connecticut, spiritual father in the Lord. He's carrying a word tonight. And I want you to stand on your feet, and I want you to just give your best welcome for our dear friend, Pastor Brian Simmons. Thank you, Lord. Let's give him some praise. Come on, let it loose. Oh, Jesus. Let it roar out of Greenwich. Jesus. Okay, you can have a seat. You know, that was awesome, that worship, wasn't it? We want more. We want more. I just felt the presence of the Lord getting heavier and heavier and heavier upon us. And I'm telling you tonight, we want more. Yeshua, the Ruach of heaven, the breath of God, the wind of God, everlasting Father, glorious Father of lights, we want more. We invite the angelic presence. We invite the fullness of your Spirit. We invite the revelation truth of your word to pierce our hearts. Lord, we invite faith to grow and increase. We invite, Lord, the expansion of our soul. Give us such an appetite, holy cravings that cannot be denied. Yearnings, Lord, love sickness for more of you. Do it, Lord. I pray, Lord, that this indeed will begin to be contagious. We thank you for the leaders and pastors that have come. Lord, we pray for 1,000 churches in the next 21 days to receive a fresh baptism. 1,000 churches. 1,000. And let there be at least 100 of them in Connecticut and in New York. Do it, Lord. And in New Jersey. Wells of revival are being reopened. Like Isaac, God is raising up sons of the living God to stir up those deep waters and uncover again the deep wells of Holy Spirit. God is so committed to refresh his people. He wants us to be encouraged. He wants us to be thrilled. And I've never used God to use a depressed believer. I'm not trying to hang anything on you tonight. I'm just saying God wants an effervescence to rise up in our hearts on spiritual tippy toes to believe that something great is coming. I want to share with you tonight, I'm going to use three different examples in the Bible of men who stepped out in faith. I believe it's time for you to step out in faith. I believe the great adventure is now before you. The undiscovered country is in front of you. And we're going to knock through the false finish lines that the enemy would put on your life. And that brother we prayed for healing, that's a false finish line the enemy would put upon you. And that finish line is a lot further away than you can imagine. You've never seen what God could really do with your life until you step out in faith. And you can mock those who are courageous, that are bold, that didn't listen to wise counsel, like man can tell you something that trumps what God says. But I'm telling you, those young men and young women and those who believe they're still young men and women, God can use us for the new adventure of stepping out in faith. Turn in your Bible first, please, to Ephesians 3:20. The book of Ephesians, chapter 3 and verse 20. We're going to begin with a benediction. This is one of the great benedictions in the Bible. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able. Is there any way we could throw that verse up and read it out loud together? Ephesians 3:20. If not, I'll just say it and then you repeat it after me, okay? Let's try it. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or even imagine, according to his power, that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church. And in Christ Jesus. Throughout all generations. Including this one. There's glory in the church today. Forever and ever. Amen. We'll practice that a little bit. By next Sunday, our choir will be up to speed. You know, it's time for you to imagine more. It's time for you to ask for more. It's time for you to believe for more. When your faith shrivels and your hope dims, then we become hollow. We become superficial. We go through motions. We walk through religious duties and think that we're pleasing God. It's like eating the cardboard box and throwing away the cereal. But when hope glistens and faith burns inside of us, then we can believe God for healings. We can believe God for awakenings. We can believe God for our finances, our health, our family, the backslider, the prodigals, churches to come alive, unity to grip the region. I want to release the gift of faith tonight. And then we're going to have some wonderful men and women of God lay hands on us and pray over us tonight. And look out. Something tremendous is going to be burning and released in this house tonight. So let's take these three examples. I want you to turn, first of all, to 1 Samuel 14. I hope you brought your Bible. We're going to have a little bit of a Bible study here tonight. It should be good for the next 7 or 8 hours. It should be really good. In 1 Samuel 14, we have the story of a man named Jonathan. Jonathan was a man who turned a maybe into a miracle. And it's about time your maybe became a miracle. That you saw God work in spite of ourselves. You know, the Bible says He will do more than we could ask or imagine. I've got to tell you, I have a very high active imaginer. My imaginer in me is highly active. I mean, it's on steroids. I can imagine this church having revival meetings until Jesus comes. I can imagine all of the state of Connecticut crowning Christ as king over this state. I can believe God for righteous government. I can imagine healing of every single sick person in this room. I told you, my imaginer is quite active. I can imagine miracles in your life taking place. And when I read a verse like this, my Lord, this is like saying sic'em to a dog running downhill. This is like throwing gas on a bonfire. To say, I will do even more than you ask or imagine. That's what God is ready to do. He's waiting and He's longing for a people that have a faith, not in ourselves. To have faith in ourselves is silly at best. It's deception in its essence. But our faith is in the God that does not have impossibility in His vocabulary. I mean, bro, he created galaxies from his fingertips. He spoke and galaxies were spinning forth. He said, let there be light. Never told it to stop. That's why the universe is still expanding. There's a creative power, a divine glory in the word of God. And when that connects with faith inside of us, when our faith latches on to a promise, tenacious, bold, I'm going to see my maybe turn into a miracle, that kind of faith, no impossibility to God faith, then we see resurrections from the dead. We see cities converted. We see the return of Charles Finney's revivalist anointing coming upon the masses of people. Epicenters of awakening. And I believe the entire Northeast is going to be an epicenter of awakening. I believe from Pennsylvania to the Maritimes. From Maine all the way down the East Coast, down to the tip of Florida. I believe this northeast region, including all of the east coast, I decree it prophetically, this land belongs to Jesus, and he's going to awaken. A sword of fire is going to come out of heaven and cut right through the unbelief of the church and the demonic hierarchies and the structures of religious bondage that have held the faith of God's beautiful lambs to keep our faith limited and in a box. You are destined for awakening. You are a revivalist. You are a faith-filled, Bible-believing, thrilled to the bone believer. Everything of Jesus is now in you. The great transfer has happened. He's given you his glory, his righteousness, his authority, his power, his standing before the Father, his level and measure of holiness and purity. It's almost as though we're his equal. There's so much of Jesus in you. If God were to give you any more than he's already given, it would be a threat to the Trinity. We'd have to make it a quartet. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. The DNA of God is in you. I'm telling you, the missing chromosome has been added by sacred blood. When that blood came upon you, it didn't just touch your outside being. It burned all the way into your DNA, into the very bones and the marrow of who you are. And now God has mingled with man. And like Christ, we are God and man hooked together. The only way Paul could say it is you're a new creation, a new critter, a new species is literally what it means. So with this much of God in us, what would keep us from releasing rivers of living water, releasing into this region the deluge of glory, the avalanche of awakening? There's only one thing that keeps us back, and that is unbelief. So I'm coming after that spirit tonight. I'm coming after it. I understand you had some wonderful miracles here Thursday night, and I no doubt there were tremendous healings that broke loose last night and here this morning as well. And tonight, we may just have jaw-dropping displays of power and glory. You got to understand, Pastor Glenn, I've been at this a while, and I want to press in for something. I want to believe for the fullest measure of glory and power that God could give. Anything he's ever dreamt of giving any people, any church, any outpouring, he'd do it right here. He'd pour it out right here without measure. And we're singing that song and I'm going, show us your glory, you know, show us your glory. And then it kicks into, I'm not afraid. And I'm going, I'm afraid, Lord, when your power comes, I'm going to get blasted. And the only ones that were singing, I'm not afraid, are those that haven't seen the fullness of that power. The thunder of his voice that breaks the cedars of Lebanon, that skips across the mighty waters, causes angels to bow, seraphim to burn, and 24 elders to remove their crown and say, it's only you, God. That's the glory you want to see, where nobody but Jesus is famous. Nobody is honored and lifted up. Of course, we'll honor with proper protocol and dignity one another as we should. But no one receives that highest place of glory than Christ. And I'm telling you right over my head tonight as I'm speaking. And I don't always tell everybody what I'm seeing. But there's such a burning light of glory right in this house tonight. I've seen that just a few times. And every time it happens, revival glory breaks loose. But if you don't have faith, you're going to be that watcher, the standby, the bench guy, the person that'll sit at home and just kind of chuckle over what happens. But with great faith, you come into the middle of it. You say, Lord, here I am. I want to meet you. I want to be radiated by your glory. I want to swallow your glory. I want to taste and then see how good and glorious you are. Faith is the key. It's the victory that overcomes the world. It's the thing that will release promotion, favor, blessing. It will cause miracle grow in your spiritual maturity. It will move you out of the shadows into the very front line of the displays of power. And it's important that you speak words of faith. And that out of your mouth that you really ask the Lord for grace this week. That at your home or where you go and drive in your car, wherever you might be, that you might carry that presence, that revival glory with you. And the greatest manifestation that you are carrying the glory is when you speak it from your mouth. Speak the words of faith. Even if they sound a little strange at the time, speak the words of faith. Can I tell you an example? I'm gonna. I was in front of thousands of people in India, which isn't a really big thing. You can, you know, with a good banner and really loud speakers, you can gather up thousands, believe me. But I was there on the platform, and I can't remember, there may be some of the people there that were in India with me that may be here in the room tonight or watching online. I took a team of about 25 faith-filled believers. Yo, faith-filled, right? Uh-huh. Well, kinda. Anyway, we were on the platform, and I had 25 chairs or 24 chairs behind me, and then the translator was here, and then the Indian pastor, the evangelist that brought us in, and it was just awesome. And I'm preaching about Jesus. There's nothing Jesus can't do, kind of like I am tonight. And then all of a sudden, I saw a television screen open up right in front of my left, about where that projection screen is that I'm looking at the back wall. I saw about that size in my vision. This television screen opened up, and I saw a woman carrying a dead baby. And I saw her weeping with a young child that was dead and that she'd come to the meeting. And before I could think about it, thank God, because if I thought about it, I would have said, wow, that's interesting. But before I could think about it, it came right out of my mouth. There's a woman here in this room or in this gathering here that your child has died today, and you came to this meeting believing that God would raise that child from the dead. Come now and a miracle will be released. And my 24 faith-filled friends behind me, they're supposed to pray. Supposed to, like, come on, Pastor Moore. All my intercessors. They're back there. They went, oh, Pastor, you said, oh no, what's going to happen if the baby comes and they almost hid under the chair. I made a conscious decision not to turn around, not to look at them, not to think about what they said. Really? I think that's why Jesus told the people, you know, get that guy out of the room before I can raise this child from the dead. There was unbelief in the room. And he, you know, and you're thinking, well, what's the wall? What is that? 3 feet away and you can raise the dead, but you can't if the guy's, well, I don't know. We'll find out someday. But anyway, that woman came up to the platform right over here, brought the child up. My team was there. My wife was with me and brought this baby, unwrapped this child. It was cold as could be, had drowned that morning in a drainage ditch, just a little bit of water. And she had heard that there was a God above all gods, because they have 6 million gods in India, that there's a God above all gods that could raise the dead. She walked an entire day through the jungle or through the rural area. And came from one village to where we were meeting, got into the meeting just in time to hear me say, there's a woman who just brought a dead child into this meeting. Come now and he will work a miracle. And she was, you know, blown away. And she came and then, like, I didn't know what to do. All I knew was I said it. I go, oh, okay. And then I start to think about the guys, my faith-filled team behind me going, oh, what if they were right, you know? And anyway, so I'm praying, but I'm acting like I'm confident. But I'm praying, and I'm saying, Lord, what in the world are you going to do here? What do I do? I started thinking, well, Jesus, you know, said, daughter, arise. But it was a boy. So I couldn't say, daughter, arise. Then I thought about, you know, Tabitha, Dorcas in the book of Acts, and Peter, arise. So I thought, well, do I just say arise? And then I thought about Elijah. He stretched out 7 times, you know, until the sneezing stuff happened, and just stretched out, you know, 7 times. I thought, man, I'm going to crush the kid if I do that. And honestly, all of this is happening like in a millisecond. My brain is processing this faster than any computer, I think, could do it. What am I going to do? You know, like, do a little CPR. I said, well, let me have the child. my faith was not, it was starting to, you know, go from ah to whoa. So they give me the baby. There was a table right here. I said, well, I'm going to lay this kid down until I figure out what I'm going to do. I held the child, put him gently on the table. The instant I did, he jumped up like lightning struck him. I didn't have time to sneeze, cough, stretch, burp. I didn't do anything. All I did was step out. I stepped out in faith. I didn't have to like, oh, domino, domino. Oh, I didn't do a thing except hold the child in my arms. And it happened so fast, I almost, you know, I tried to catch him. Then I go, oh, wait, no, this is the idea. He's supposed to jump up and be alive. Okay. And you know, the mom took the child back. We arranged for transportation because she had to go so many hours walking. But we arranged a truck to take her back. And she came the next night with almost the whole village. Because they saw that child leave with a weeping mom. And then late at night, when mom brought that child back into the village, the screams and ecstatic shouts of praise began to fill the air, and that entire village was converted. And a church has now been formed in that village where there was no gospel witness, nothing, not one. And guess who's the pastor now? The woman and her husband. Yeah. It's called Resurrection Church Planting. Don't know what I'm doing, but miracles happen, church planting. Now, what if I'd seen that screen open up? And, you know, whenever you see a television, you got to tell the vision. And when you see that, when I saw that television, something rose up in me. Faith, gift of faith or something. I need to learn more about this. Pastor Glenn, you help me. But faith surged through me. And I spoke it before I could think it. And I just want to challenge you tonight to speak it before you process it. You say, you're really telling me to do that? Mm-hmm. Yep. Actually, I believe God is. Because we do not walk by sight, but we walk by faith. We don't walk by what the eyes see and what the ears hear. We have a vision. We have a revelation that transcends this natural realm. We've got to be the people of another kingdom. We've got to be the people of the kingdom of the Lord and Christ. And we reveal and release him by words of faith. Your doubt and grumbling and complaining and unbelief and talking about how horrible things are. No wonder miracles haven't visited your home. But when faith fills your mouth and you begin to speak with the spirit of faith, words of faith growing up from the inside out, then you're going to see dramatic power encounters of breathtaking miracles in your life. We're going to see some of those tonight. Wouldn't that be great? Did I tell you to go to 1 Samuel 14 already? Okay. 1 Samuel 14 speaks about a man named Jonathan. He and his daddy, Saul, were the only two people in Israel that had a sword. Nobody else had a sword. Nobody else had a sword in the whole nation. Only two. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer in verse 1, one day Jonathan, son of Saul, said to the young man bearing his armor, that armor bearer, come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side. But he didn't tell his daddy where he was going. Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah and under a pomegranate tree and migraine. Having a headache there. And with him were about 600 men, among whom was Ahijah, who was wearing an ephod. He was a son of Ichabod's brother, Ahitub. Aren't you glad I'm reading these names, not you? Son of Phinehas and the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh. No one was aware that Jonathan had left. The dude snuck out. He left. He was probably in his 20s. And he said, you know what? My dad doesn't want to fight the battle. Nobody in Israel has a sword. I've got a sword. It's only one sword and I'm only one man. But I'm going to step out and I want to see if God will turn my maybe into a miracle. And verse 4, on each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. Makes it kind of hard. Don't be surprised if everything around you gets worse. Don't be surprised if it's difficult. It's like between a rock and a hard place. That's where Jonathan was. Literally, between a rock and a hard place. Read it. It says that he was trying to get over to the Philistine outpost, but there was a cliff, two cliffs, one on each side. One was Bozez, and the other was Sina. Would you like to know what Bozez means? Slippery. Let's see you climb up that thing. It's kind of a slippery path. You know, to walk in faith and to step out in faith and to believe God for greater things, to believe God that this coming week, starting Wednesday night, the miracles of heaven will be breaking loose in new dimensions. And that doesn't mean they're not going to happen tonight. I'm just saying the Lord is showing me that this coming week, it's going up another notch. You're going to have some really amazing testimonies by the end of this week. And I believe that in July, the airport is going to start having people flying in from other regions into this. It will begin a trickle. It will begin but a trickle. But by the end of the summer, that trickle will become a waterfall and an avalanche. Get ready for people standing outside this door lining up to get in. The days of greater awakening are coming. God is looking for a people that have faith for the supernatural, faith for the miraculous, faith for more. Now, do you still want to say, we want more? Holy Spirit, we want more. It's good to say you want more, but it takes faith to claim it, to receive it, to believe it, to pull it in. Faith is the you know, it's the muscle that moves the arm of omnipotence. It's the very conduit of glory to fall upon a land. If awakening of New England depends on your faith, how close are we? Everybody say, give me more faith. Doesn't the Bible say we go from faith to faith? Doesn't it say we go from disappointment to I can't hardly make it? Or I'm so depressed to, well, maybe I can make it through this week. No, we go from faith to even greater faith. And I'm here tonight to release and stir up gifts of faith in this house. To where it's not just a guy coming in telling you his miracle stories. We all have them. But it's you stepping out and believing God for a messed up marriage that God can bring a healing and a miracle. For a financial, you know, limitation that God can bust through that where it looks like there's no possibility. A healing that doctors say you're not going to get. Thank God he says all men are liars. To believe him for the supernatural. To step out in your dreams. I remember stepping out the first time I had I'm a Baptist. Baptists don't dream. They call it pizza or indigestion but Baptists don't get dreams, you know. Here I am, a Baptist minister. I'm out in the jungle. My wife and I were ministering as tribal missionaries. And an angel comes to me in a dream. I had a dream with an angel that appeared. That's cool. Didn't know how to process it. Thank God I was asleep. And I had to that's why you know, God knocks you out so he can tell you some things. Isn't it amazing when angels appear to men, they fall over dead? Angels appear to women and they say, whatever you want, Lord. Real rough guys, aren't we? So this angel comes in the dream and in the dream I saw a man perish. I saw a man lose his life in this dream. And then the angel said, I want you to go and bring the message of life to this man. And then in the dream, it shifted from the death of this man. It shifted to where he lived and the hut he lived in and the village he resided in. Now, I woke up in the morning and I thought, you know what? I'm going to step out in Baptist faith and I'm going to see if maybe becomes a miracle. So I took almost a day's hike to that next village. And sure enough, there's the hut that I saw by the angel. And I no sooner walked up to the man's hut that he came out of the door and greeted me. It was so bizarre. He came like we had an appointment, you know. And he comes out the door and I take his hand and I said, the Lord sent me. And he starts immediately to shake and weep and cry and falls on the floor, on the mud, on the dirt. And looks like bacon in a frying pan. Just sizzles in the power of God. I go, whoa. They didn't tell me about this in Baptist school. And I didn't realize his wonderful wife was back in the shadows further into the hut, and she didn't make herself known until her husband was out here flopping. And then she came out of the shadow, out of the dark, and then she came right to the threshold of where we were. And then, bam, she went right down. And after a few minutes, when I felt like they could, like, listen to me, I knelt down beside them and I told them their need of Jesus and that the Lord had shown me that I was to come. I didn't say the angel. I just said, God has really spoken to me that I'm to come to you and give you the message of life. They received Jesus. It was so beautiful. 2 weeks later, he died. Step out in the God initiatives. When God, John 5:19, when you see the Father doing something, step out. Step out and do it. Well, what if I'm wrong? You're wrong. Is that the first time? Like you've never been wrong? You got a ticket, you still drive. You got food poisoning, you still eat. You'll miss it. I had Glenn, Pastor Glenn never has, but I have a few times. I have to be honest, my wife's here, so a few times. Jonathan and his armor bearer, they go between a slippery place and a thorny place. Sina means thorns. It's actually one of the Hebrew words for the acacia tree or a thorn bush. It's a place where the thorn bushes grew. And right there in that mountain pass, Jonathan and his armor bearer, they climbed up and they had this supernatural, they had this signal going on. And they said, you know, maybe the Lord will act in our behalf. I'm looking at verse 6. Maybe, perhaps, let's just see. And I have a feeling that's the kind of faith your wonderful pastor has. That he stepped out Monday night, called the meeting right after Mother's Day. And let's see what God is doing. And then the second week, it's like, well, let's see and let's maybe he'll keep coming. And he stepped out in faith at week and week. And now we're beginning the fifth week, I believe, of these meetings. You still have faith. You still believe God is coming. I felt his presence here today. Turn to 2 Kings 7. 2 Kings 7. The second individual that turned maybe into a miracle. Actually, there's four of them. Four lepers. Real likely revivalists. Probably missing fingers, toes, scabs, warts, freaky looking, rags over their face. Those lepers released a miracle. You know, if four lepers can release revival and awakening and a supernatural provision and miracles for a whole nation and feed a whole nation, if four lepers can do it, what about 400 believers that love Jesus, that have been healed from our leprosy, the scourge of sin within? Even a leper. Everybody say, even a leper. You see, there's no limitation to who God can use. You disqualify yourself so prematurely and so wrongly. You are in error when you do so. You know, God will continue to use you, bless you, and fill you, even though you have blundered a time or two. Your tumbles and stumbles don't hinder God from overruling in this marvelous component called grace. Grace. Mercy. Even a leper could spark an awakening. Let's quickly look at this. And Elijah the prophet is on the scene, and let me set it up for you. The Aramean army, which is the Syrians, isn't it interesting that Syria is in the news? Is a Syrian army led by a king by the name of Ben-Hadad, not Hodad, but Hadad, or Hadad, or something. Let's just call him Ben. So the king, The leader of this army was a guy named Ben, and he was coming against the city of Samaria, and he was waging a siege. What that is a blockade. They encircle the city, basically. They set up a siege that prevents people from going and coming. That means you can't go out and get your crops. You can't go out and get water. You better have water inside the city walls or you're going to get really thirsty. You can't sell or trade. If you have livestock, forget about it. The bad guys are eating them. And, you know, it's a siege. It's a blockade. And for month after month after month, nobody left that city of Samaria. The suffering became so desperate that they turned to cannibalism. They actually ate ass's head and dove's dung. I'm sorry, I may have some children here. Donkey's head and stuff that doves leave behind. Probably had seeds in it, I don't know. Stop thinking about it. All I know is I don't want it. It's kind of amazing. That's what the church has been eating for all too long. Nothing but a donkey's head, the mind of man, the revelation that man can give, and the dove's dung where the Holy Spirit was. They were hungry. They began to turn on each other. Didn't Paul the Apostle say, you bite and devour one another. Beware. So the siege against this city is almost like the siege that's come against New York and Connecticut and your life. So Elisha the prophet, assured that the famine is going to end, he says in verse 1, 2 Kings 7, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Isn't it great when we have a prophet come and give us what the Lord says? This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, got to understand, they were like eating donkey's skull. They were that hungry. Should we go out for dinner, pizza later? Sorry, Dad, Mom. So you can imagine how they hear this word. And the prophet says, within 24 hours, flour is going to sell. It was selling for like an exorbitant amount. It's going to just sell for a shekel. You can get a whole bag of flour for one shekel. One. And two bags of barley for a shekel. At the very gate of this city. The officer and the king, the commander of the Israeli army, the Jewish army, and the king, they were right there. Jehoram was the king. And the military commander said to the man of God, listen, even if the Lord would open the floodgates of heaven, how could this ever happen? I want to say the Lord is opening the floodgates of heaven, and he's going to change everything. Imagine, like, you're so discouraged, so depressed, so frustrated, disappointed, bored with church, bummed out with everything. And a man of God comes and says, in 24 hours, it's all going to change. And you are going to be feasting at the gates of the city. That maybe is going to be a miracle. Now, let's figure out how it happened. It says there were four lepers. Four lepers outside the gate. Somebody tell me, why did they have to be outside the gate? They were unclean. They couldn't come into the city. So here are these four wretched lepers. At the entrance of the gate, they said to each other, why do we just stick around here and die? If we go into the city, the famine's there and we're going to die. If we stay here at the gate, nobody's going to feed us. We're going to die. So why don't we just go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender, and maybe, just maybe, perhaps, they'll spare us. Nobody had faith at all except those four lepers, and their level of faith was like fingernail faith, thimble faith. That's all they had. It was just tiny. They said, well, listen, we might as well go and just see if they would feed us. And maybe they'll have pity and feed us. So these four lepers dragged themselves down the road towards the enemy's camp. And the sound of their feet dragging must have made quite a sound, right? But you know what sound it made in the spirit realm? It was the sound of a mighty army. And the Arameans, the Klingons, the Stiktites, the, you know, whoever they were, the bad guys, Sith warriors, they heard the dragging, they heard the army, they heard the marching of a million men. They heard the marching of an army. It wasn't an army, it was these four dorky lepers. Four lepers. Scared away the whole camp of the enemy. And you can kind of get the picture, you know. YouTube, this one. They come up to the camp, you know, and they're wondering if they're going to get killed or whatever. Arrow comes, sword, spear. And they come up to the camp and knock on the tent door. I guess you don't knock on tents, do you? Hello? Hello? Anybody home? And they open up the tent flap. And there's dinner waiting on them. Cooked. Bread. Cinnamon rolls, Cinnabons. Cinnabons. The best pasta and chicken parm you can imagine was right there. These guys are like drooling. And they go in and they just start feasting. Ah, big turkey leg. I don't know, like what they have down at Disney or something. They're eating all this food. And they look over. Robes. There's this beautiful robe. And they put on new garments. And they look over. There's gold. There's silver. They left the ATM card. And they go to the next tent. Same thing. Next tent. Same thing. The entire camp of thousands of the oppressors. Thousands of the enemy. They all ran away in fear because they heard the sound of the army marching in the spirit. They heard the sound of an army. God amplified. He probably put a microphone down by their feet or something. And it just sounded like a million men marching against them. And they looked at each other. They burped a couple of times. They wiped their mouths. Ate a little bit more. Drank a little bit more. And then one of them said, "Yo, this is not right." "What do you mean? I've been hungry. I've been dying on." "No, no, no. It's not right that we're out here eating all of this food and all of the city back here is starving to death. We got to go back." So they did. And they went back. And they told everybody. And the king and the commander were convinced it was a plot that the enemy had sent them, trying to lure everybody out. And you know what happened when the people heard? When their hunger, when they heard the cry, there's food in the house. There's a new move of God in Greenwich. There is like something in the tent. There's gold and garments and glory waiting. They stampeded and crushed and trampled down the king and his, or the military commander. Just like Elisha had prophesied. One of the most amazing stories in all the Bible. God turned maybe into a miracle. So what's your excuse? You're not a leper. You're okay. You're all right. You can make it. You can step out in faith. I wonder if all of us tonight stepped out in faith believing that it wouldn't release a sound that would pierce the structure of darkness over New York, all the way to Boston, all the way up the Hudson Valley. That into Pennsylvania, that the sound of the Lord's breaking in, like the sound of many waters, the rushing in of God's glory, would cause a breakthrough for the region. One more story, we're done. Man named Peter. You know, he's born with a sandal in his mouth. Peter had a hard time with what he said, what he spoke, and he tended to be impetuous. Nobody in this room would ever be guilty of that, I'm sure. But Peter was an amazing man. Actually, you know, Jesus, I just translated this in the Luke translation. But Jesus told Peter, when you are restored and you come back to me, your life mission will be to strengthen your brothers who fail, to help others who fail. And there's a unique grace on 1st and 2nd Peter, the writings of that apostle Peter, that strengthens the church and those who fail. There's grace and mercy. The God of all mercy and grace, who gives us a living hope. Well, Peter and his friends were in a boat, and they were told by the Lord Jesus to row across the lake and to go over to the other side. And Jesus went up on the mountain to pray, and I'm convinced he prayed up a storm. And a storm came. I wonder if some of your storms he'd been praying for. Oh boy, you're going to stone me with that one. Because he wants to teach you faith. So Peter and his friends are out there in the boat, and all of a sudden they scream out and they say, "There's a ghost walking on the water." It wasn't a ghost, it was Jesus. They left him, so he figured the only way I'm going to get over there is either to transport myself, which he could have done, or I'll just walk on the waves. And in the book of Psalms, if you buy the translation, you'll see it clearly, that he makes a path upon the sea, the waves of the sea. That he actually, it's a prophecy that Jesus would walk on water one day. And so Jesus, on top of the waves, he's walking, probably like the waves are like moving him forward. It's probably a cool thing to see. I'd like to see the video of that, but he's walking on the sea. The storm is blasting everywhere, and they scream out, and Jesus was going to go right by them. But Peter shouted out, said, "Lord, if that's you, if that's really you, tell me to come, and I want to walk on water too." And you know the other 11 freaked out. They scream, "Peter, there you go again, you stupid moron. Why are you doing this? You're going to drown, bro." And he gets out of the boat. And the whole time they're saying, "Get back in here, Pete. What are you doing, man? You really, listen, only Jesus walks on water. We're fishermen. We get what's under the water." Peter steps out of that boat and he turned maybe into a miracle. You can say what you will about Peter. But somehow I feel like he said to his friends, as they were mocking him, and he's walking on the waves, he turns around and says, "Boys, just put on my tombstone. Last time we saw him, he was walking towards Jesus." The Lord wants you to step out and walk towards your miracle. You want somebody to come with greater faith. You want somebody to come and lay a hand on you and give you a prophetic word. And God will be so kind to send us those wonderful choice servants that bring the word of the Lord to us. We love them. But when will we be the people of faith to turn a maybe into a miracle? Would you like to see a miracle in your life? I've seen so many miracles in my life. I've seen the great miracle of God changing hearts. We lived for many years in a jungle village where they worshiped demon spirits. They had 8 levels of the netherworld, the underworld, and the shamans would go down to every one of the 8 levels and find the demonic realm until they grabbed it, and they would release it back into their village. Shapeshifters that were men that turned into black jaguars. You see an animal like that in the jungle, and I saw them. You don't know if it's a man or an animal. I had a man eat glass right in front of me, and I don't mean Dixie cup. I saw a demonized man eat glass, like thick glass. Ate it. And then they hand me one, and they say, "Let's see what your God can do." How many of you believe I ate the glass? You're wrong if you believe that. I said, "I'm not eating that glass." I just said, "What kind of demon God would make you eat glass?" My daddy, he gives me green pastures. He gives me peace. He gives me everything I need. He brings me healing. He brings me joy. And And some of you know the story. Our daughter was dying of a snake bite. Our 7-year-old daughter in the jungle was bitten by a bushmaster snake and was dying. God healed her. She's now pastoring with her husband a church that we started 20 years ago, right over in New Haven. I said, if you want to see what my God can do, look at this 7-year-old girl as she walked into the room and sat on my lap. That's what my God could do. I don't care what demon power is coming against you. I don't care what unbelief is limiting you, what horizon seems so, you know, far away, what impossibility you're staring at. It can be a relationship. It could be that it could be God may want to adjust you inside. But whatever God needs to do, He is ready. I'm telling you, the table, the feast is spread. The feast of glory is here tonight. And there's a feast that will satisfy even the hungriest soul in this room. If you don't know Jesus Christ, tonight is the night to believe in Him. The great miracle of salvation can come into your life. It did mine 40 years ago, 41 years, this August 8th. I received Jesus Christ into my life. I left a horrible life behind of just things I don't even want to talk about. But I can tell you that Jesus brought light into my darkness, and He'll do that for you tonight. He'll bring light to you. He can bring healing to the inner being within you. Your heart was made to be His home. Your heart was made to be the very resting place for the glory of Jesus Christ. Tonight, if you need Jesus in your life, you'd like to receive Him as your Savior, just stand up real quick. We want to just bless you and pray for you. We'll have you sit back down. If you need Jesus in your life, come on, stand up. Don't hesitate. Say, I need Him right now. I need a miracle. I need my life turned around. I need to receive Jesus Christ into my life. I'm not going to wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow's only written on a fool's calendar. This is the day. This is the day God is calling me. This is the day He's speaking to you. Young person, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, whoever you may be in this room, you need Jesus. Stand up quickly, real quick. Stand up if you need Him. Stand up if you want to receive Jesus in your heart. We'll pray for you. Is there anyone? Wait just a quick moment. Sometimes there's a battle inside about this. But He's going to win that battle. He's going to bring you to Jesus' love. If you need Christ tonight, stand up. And we want to pray for you and just bless you. And then we'll have you sit back down. Anyone, please. God bless you, sweetheart. God bless you. Just stay standing for a moment. Stay standing. Is there someone else? Someone else? Someone else needs the Lord? Come on, get real. When we left our jungle village, came back to the U.S., I'm going to pray for you in just a moment, sweetheart. The three men that I handpicked to replace us, missionaries, good, godly, wonderful missionaries, they were martyred. Colombian drug cartel, some really bad people came in with automatic weapons one night, right at sundown, kidnapped those men, took them out in the jungle, later killed them. You don't know what a day is going to hold. You don't know what the future holds. That man that I went because of an angel visiting me in a dream and telling me about his soul, that I was being sent to win him to Christ. That man later, 2 weeks later, died in a jungle. A tree fell on him and killed him. But his soul is in heaven. And the souls of my three friends, my best friends who are martyred, wearing the martyr's crown, I have a feeling they're waiting for our reunion too. What about you? Are you ready? Are you ready for your encounter with God? Are you ready? The only thing that makes you ready is to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Anyone else? Last call. May it never be your last call, but it's my last call. for you. Anyone? Three, two, one. Better stand up. Okay. Let's pray for you. Would you stand, sweetheart? God bless you. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask the blessing of heaven to come upon your daughter. Would you say this after me? Let's all pray it together. Dear Lord Jesus, I need you tonight in my life. I want to know that you're real. I want to know that you live in me. I open the door of my heart. I trust you to save me. Come into my life. Be my Savior. Be my friend. Receive right now fullness of God. There's healing going into your body right now. You need physical healing, don't you? Jesus is healing you right now. Thank you, Lord. He's healing your body. He's healing you from the inside out. More. Receive it. Receive the healing power. Miracles of heaven come into you right now. We break every stronghold of the dark power that's come against you, every nightmare, every insomnia, every difficulty sleeping and resting, even thinking clear. I break that fog off of you in Jesus' name. Receive now the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand and worship, and we'll have you come forward in just a moment. But first, let's just worship, can we? And before we do, I want you to lift your hand if you want more faith. And say, Lord, take me from faith to faith. Give me a faith for greater miracles. Let faith words come from my mouth. Let the spirit of faith stir within me. Help me to pray in faith. To worship in faith. To read my Bible in faith. And to touch others' lives with faith. I receive the spirit of faith. Now release miracles through me. For even a leper can release a miracle. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship. Come in faith believing. Come on down. Come in faith believing.